For a clean, lubricated, more fuel-efficient system, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum as you head down the stretch. Momentum starts with movement. It's pulled from the air like a contested rebound. Momentum builds with steals and fast breaks, and is proven by deep threes as the shot clock expires. Momentum is how we change the game. And now it's time to discover where it can take us. Goodyear, more driven.
Sadness and misery, I don't feel either of these. I'm in a good mood.
Okay.
Hey, man, what's wrong?
Well, it just didn't sound very bluesy.
He's probably happy because he found out Honey Nut Cheerios can help lower cholesterol as part of a heart-healthy diet.
Oh, hey, Buzz.
Okay, well, let's try it again.
Smile on my face.
Nope, that's still happy.
Have a change of heart with Honey Nut Cheerios. Learn more about Honey Nut Cheerios by picking up a box at your local store.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Another major in the world of golf, the PGA champ. No, I'm sorry, the U.S. Open after the PGA Championship. Phil Mickelson won that one. Patrick Rogers is your leader. 2 under par. Russell Henley, 2 under par. Siwoo Kim, 2 under as well. I'll keep you posted on the rest of the leaderboard as things continue to go throughout the afternoon. Matt Kuchar is 1 under. Got some of the bigger names. Justin Thomas is even. Billy Horschel even. Still looking for Phil, seeing where he's at. He might not have teed off just yet. So I'll keep you posted on some of those scores as we keep going. Oh, he is. He's 2 over par through 5. So Phil Mickelson, 2 over par. And again, your leader is 2 under. 800-998-1003 is the number to chime into the conversation. Our question of the day on social media over at ESPN Radio NOLA is...
Yeah, it has to deal with the New Orleans Pelicans and Zion Williamson, and it is, what is the bigger story and why? Pelicans having a third head coach in 3 seasons, or some of Zion Williamson's family members wanting him on a different team?
Want to get your takes on this here as well. Again, this is based off of the story that came out late this morning, you know, around 10 o'clock-ish. Sham Sharania, Mr., you know, The Athletic over there, him and Woj, so the two guys that really break the biggest stories. But Joe Varden and our very own Will Guillory, and I say ours in terms of, you know, covers your Pelicans. Part of this story, the first paragraph, I'll reread it, and then we'll get to Jack. Parting ways of Stan Van Gundy after just one season is not the biggest problem facing the New Orleans Pelicans. They have been unable to put together the right elements to make rising star Zion Williamson and his family happy. Multiple sources have told The Athletic that certain family members want Williamson on another team. I want to know how you read that if you're a Pels fan. How do you take that? Being unhappy, I can understand it. He probably feels he would like to be in the playoffs. I get it. He didn't play most of his first season. Got the bubble. They didn't do well there. This past season, blew games. So I get all of that. There was dysfunctionality, apparently, if you continue to read this article, that's being out there. Jordan, we've kind of elaborated already. J.J. Redick has made mention to that earlier this year publicly. Josh Hart last week says, maybe a fresh start's what's best for me. Nikhil Alexander Walker tweeting yesterday or putting on Instagram.
It was a roller coaster ride, to say the least, but nevertheless, I appreciate it.
And then
Lonzo Ball. Mutual kind of, not agreement, but
the
interest.
Knicks, the Knicks and Ball, yeah. Mutual interest perhaps in there. So, is there a bigger problem? And as I said, maybe this is one of those instances and situations, because this is not just on Stan. I think this is on players. This is on Stan. And more importantly, this is absolutely as well on David Griffin.
And now you have Complex Sports over on Twitter. And
well, you know, this is
Zion Williamson told us that he and RJ Barrett have discussed teaming up in the NBA a lot.
All right. So there you go. And RJ Barrett plays for
the Knicks.
Okay. So this is one of those moments, like I said, going into break, when Anthony Davis turned down $200 million from you.
Mm-hmm.
David Griffin, I got a suggestion for you, man. Pick a spot in 38. You got the money. It's a nice 5-6 hour drive. You can make phone calls along the way. Get there. I don't know. Jordan, is he a Yeti, Orca, Igloo? What kind of guy you think he is?
David Griffin?
Yeah, I think Yeti, maybe. I'm going with Yeti. Grab your favorite Yeti cooler. Igloo. You're going with Igloo, huh? I'm going with Yeti. So he put it in the sand, my dude. Grab the umbrella. And actually, you'll probably be staying somewhere. Somebody can just bring the umbrella for you, regardless. Put your feet in the sand. And you just need to think about why the narrative right now around your organization is dysfunctionality when a lot that comes through your press conferences and language and words that you use is we want to build a family.
I better not see him on the beach.
Okay, stop it. My point is, stop it. Well, no, because then I'd ask him too. I'm like, dude,
why are you chilling on a beach with all this?
No, he needs to sit. He needs to have a moment of retrospectiveness. You have to figure out why. If you're telling people you're trying to run this organization like a family, then why are people in your family saying it's dysfunctional? Again, moves, draft picks, it happens. They either work or they don't. On the other side of the parking lot, not every draft pick that the Saints have made works. Not every free agent they pick up works. It happens. But building the right culture and having people feel respected and having people feel that the next man, I've explained this. The only way next man up works like it does with the Saints.
Is if you actually have a next man up.
No, is because you actually provide that atmosphere to where that guy is or believes that I can work my tail off for 15 weeks out of the season. And yes, in week 16, because of an injury or whatever, coach goes, Jordan, you're up. And I'll get that opportunity because you've created a culture that no matter where you've been drafted, I can still make the team or even start. So it's about your culture and it's about the environment you create. And if in year two, your superstar already feels uncomfortable in that environment and you have players publicly saying there's an uncomfort level, then you need to have a sit down with yourself. There's no other way to look at this. It can still be fixed and salvaged. But you have to ask yourself that question just like Gail Benson did. Why would a grown man turn down $200 million of my dollars? Who does that? Is my place so bad that you are turning down $200 million?
You know,
and
even
she
worse?
Made the decision that obviously it was, looked into it, and changed how the Pelicans were run. Well, David Griffin's at this point, and I don't think I'm overstating it.
It's what a 21-year-old, too, keep in mind.
I don't think I'm overstating it. If your constant message to everybody is, I want to run this like a family, well, what happens if your family's unhappy? We've all had those conversations. What's wrong? I've had sit downs. I don't like what I hear sometimes. I don't understand what I hear sometimes. But if she's unhappy or she's sad or if it affects her emotionally and there's a tear or she tells me, you need to stop this, I need to listen or I need to understand why she feels that way at least. And that's where David Griffin is right now. Why are players that have been on my team feel this way? Because if not, you're not getting free agents, you're not getting good coaches, you're not getting players to stay. So go out to 30A, go put your feet in the sand, take some time and figure it out. Go over conversations. Am I addressing things right? Am I doing things personally right? Figure it out. Cajun Goat, you're on hold. Jack, you're on. Thank you, sir. How are you?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing well.
Look, you know, that a 20, 21-year-old guy's upset, that's a problem when he's your best player that you're trying to build a franchise around. But I think, you know, one of the things when they hired David Griffin was, at least for me, was that you thought there would be a plan. You know, because when Dell Demps was here, it didn't seem like there was one. He was kind of doing things helter-skelter. You know, they tried to force Eric Gordon to stay here, and he dogged it the whole time he was here. You know, there were guys that they maybe should have got something in trade as they were leaving, and they just, you know, let them go. And you thought David Griffin was going to, you know, you thought you could see something, you know, way he was building the team. But right now, I mean, when you look at this team, besides Zion, is there anybody else on the team that you figure just has to be here?
My answer, no. Now, we could argue whether it's Brandon Ingram or not. It would be the only other player. But other than those two?
I would like to tell you Kyra, but we didn't see enough minutes during the season.
What he's saying is, like, untouchables, the guys that are going. I don't know what the other guys. There's a lot of promise. I like a lot of players. Look, you need a bench. You can't play 2-on-5. But those two, you would think, are where you're going, right? But I got to see some more out of Brandon Ingram as well, man. And I've heard some stories. So there's some growing up that needs to happen on his side.
And I'm not just talking about talent. I think you have to be able to point to the guys that you're building around, and it has to be more than Zion. And you have to be able to tell them, you know, we have you two. This is what we need. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's a plan moving forward. Right now, I don't see it. So I agree with all of what y'all. I mean, this is on David Griffin. And they're in danger of this. You know, I kind of thought this when Anthony Davis was on the way out. They really are in danger of killing basketball completely in New Orleans. Because you can't watch, you know, somebody like Chris Paul, Anthony Davis, and Zion leave. You can't and continue to. Gus, you were kind of saying before. It's not cheap to go to these games. And you can't expect people to be invested in this if you keep letting talent like that walk away. For no particular reason, it just seems silly. And then for David Griffin to keep saying to give these coaches votes of confidence, you know, he believes in what they're doing, and then you let him go after a year. Although to be fair, you know, Sean Payton kind of did this with defensive coordinators for a while, but you know,
but you see how that went. You didn't win Super Bowls without that, man. Thank you, Jack. Appreciate the phone call, man.
All right, thanks.
I hear what you're saying. Cajun Goat, let me get you in before I hit the break, sir. What you got?
Gus, you hit the nail right on the head when you said Miss Benson. Miss Benson needs to step in here. With the chaos that's going on with everything, she needs to sit down with Griffin and Zion. You have to have a seat with Zion. For him to say that, oh, well, they'll have a little bit to do with us getting our next coach, you need to get the house straight. If it's going to be a family, your family needs to sit down and have a talk. Seems like there's no communication between the organization and the players. And if there is communication, it's a one-way communication with David Griffin. And if anybody thinks this guy is going to hire the right coach, I think you're fairly mistaken. He's taken us to the point where we're going to look like OKC looks right now. No stars, just a bunch of scrubs running around the floor. So, you know, Ms. Benson's going to have to take control of this before it gets too outrageous. To have all this stuff out in the media after a season, have your star player family disgruntled, having other players disgruntled, I think, you know, it's time for her to kind of step in and do something about it. And that's the problem with Ms. Benson. She doesn't want to step on any toes, but I think we're to that point, though, don't you think, Gus?
You bring up a very interesting point, Cajun Goat, from this aspect of it. And again, it kind of goes to what I was saying with Will Guillory here earlier about perception becoming reality. And he said, you know, in AD's case, that perception became reality and at least two people outside of here. So the thing that stood out the most with what you just said is this. This is absolutely the last thing you would want after a season like this. And you don't want that to be happening, like you said. You bring in the player that I do think has a good family, has a good head on his shoulders, and is a good kid. So, like, to your point, you know, doesn't need to be like the serious Carver, sit down, or it could be, let's just go to dinner, figure out what's going on here. Because I'm with you. It stood out to me yesterday. David Griffin saying he didn't want to put too much pressure on Brandon Ingram and Zion by asking him about the next head coach and things of that nature. But I do think if I'm Mrs. Benson, I probably need to ask, okay, why are we on our third coach? Right? I mean, at the very least, yeah, why are we on our third coach?
I'm there with that.
I
think Ms. Benson's a great person.
Yeah.
I think, and she is a great communicator. with the things that she does, and she gets points across probably better than what David Griffin gets things across. So I think her – let's take an example of what was going on in Dallas after the season was over. Did Mark Cuban take care of that? Because it seems to me Mark Cuban's taking care of that. The guy that was giving Doncic all the trouble, he took care of it. It's done. The guy's gone. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I think your owner sometimes got to step up when you're having a situation like this, and your owner needs to sit down with everybody and see what's going on and get it from both perspectives, the problems.
I hear you, man. I got to hit the break. Thank you so much. And one thing that you brought up I'll say this going into break, Jordan, and he brings up this very good point. Perception doesn't just affect your players or the coverage of your media, but then that coverage also affects your fan base. And to his point, you know, and what Jack was saying, how much are people going to invest? I'm watching incredible games with fan bases going bananas. I'd like to get to that point, but, you know, it's like, the last thing this fan base needs when 2 years ago they just watched their best player leave is to hear this. So if I'm Gale, like Jack and, you know, them just said, I'm having a sit down, yeah? I'm joining you at 38. What's going on? Right? What's going on? We should be excited about the future, not wondering what's going on. Nate Osborne next on ESPN New Orleans. Easy for me.
You know Randy, right?
Research Randy?
Yeah, you know Randy.
That guy could spend a week researching which brand of underwear to buy.
I went with him to look at diamonds.
How did you survive it?
I told him to go to every store and visit every website, and then I'd go with him to Ramsey's.
Ha, so you cheated.
Yeah, I cheated. I didn't want to have to go to 20 stores.
How long did it take him to realize Ramsey's is the place to buy diamonds?
Keep in mind that by the time Randy got to Ramsey's, he had heard blah, blah, blah from everyone else in town.
So what happened when he got to Ramsey's?
When our boys saw that Ramsey's has every size and every color and every clarity of diamond from diamond mines,
yeah,
and all the same choices in created diamonds,
yeah,
plus every style of engagement ring that everyone else had, plus that many more that no one else had.
Dude, I've been to Ramsey's.
His eyebrows shot up an inch and a half, and he started to hyperventilate.
He bought from Ramsey's, right?
Of course he did. Research Randy is annoying, but he's not an idiot.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Highway 1 in Raceland, features fantastic, authentic Mexican food and steaks. They have great lunch specials Monday to Fridays, plus enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. And on Fridays, it's 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings. El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
So let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. As always, we love on Thursdays catching up with the head coach of your New Orleans Gold, Mr. Nate Osborne. Coach, how are you?
I'm good, actually. Really good.
Why are you such in a good mood, Carr? Coach,
big win, massive win for us.
Yes, on the road, 25-21, 25-21 against Old Glory.
Against the Old Glory. and we get an opportunity to now go and bash up Toronto, which is always fun. So, you know, good week.
Might get some cooler weather up there in Toronto. Look, take us back to D.C., Coach, because, look, obviously one of the things we talked about last week that's interesting is we're not going to see you at home anymore. Your home schedule already wrapped up. So it's odd, but I understand it. The heat, obviously, this week, we've been able to see that. That said, you still have to play the season. You're still trying to make the playoffs. So Get us caught up to that, Coach. What did this win do in terms of the standings and all?
So basically, we're in third place, but we have an extra game because we had an early bye compared to the other teams in front of us. So they're kind of one game. It seems like they're one game in front of us, but we have a game in hand. So when they have a bye, we actually get an extra game. So if we win that, we're on, you know, even pegging with them. We also play New York, who's one of the teams just in front of us. So we have an opportunity to go there and beat them and, you know, steal their points, which we should have done against Atlanta a couple of weeks ago. But so it's really Atlanta, us and New York kind of fighting it out right now. New England still some hope, but we got them next week as well. So kind of worked out that, you know, down the stretch here, we get to play against the teams that are fighting it out, and the best two teams will get through, I guess. And we still believe we're one of them.
What was a key in order to, like, I'm assuming, like, a conversation is had, you know, look, guys, we have six games left. We're all on the road, things of that nature. So what do you think is key to being able to go on the road and winning most of these games? What's the mindset you're trying to get your club to be?
I think, like, have a bit of fun, you know, like, we've got a lot of guys that have come here from all over the world, all over the country to come play in New Orleans, and we all love New Orleans. But when you have such a long home stretch where you don't go away, you just get caught in like in a kind of a rut, in a routine where you're at the facility at 8 a.m., you leave at 2. It's just rinse and repeat, and your days just become like, you know, it just kind of feels like you get complacent, you know. And so being on the road, I think, breaks up that week. And it's good. And like I said, there's people coming from all over the world that want to go to places like DC and get out and see the place, and want to go to New York and want to go to Boston. So, you know, even though we've got a lot of travel, we get to go to some cool places. And I think the guys really enjoyed, you know, spending the day walking around DC and seeing a different place and just getting a different feel for, you know, what America is, because especially with COVID, most of the time they've just been kind of cooped up in New Orleans, and there's way worse places to be cooped up than New Orleans because it's amazing. But I think just getting out and seeing that, you could just see how, you know, happy we were before the game. It just seemed like we were way more relaxed. It seemed like we were having fun, you know. And we even had we had a meeting at 3:15 at the hotel before we left to go to the field, and our starting hooker Pat O'Toole was throwing up all day, so he pulled out at that time. So we had to get our traveling reserve to step in, and then our fly half, Timmy Gilman, pulled out with a hamstring strain in the warm-up. So Kane Thompson, the coach, who just recently is kind of player coach, but he's trying to retire, he actually had to step in and play, which is awesome for the boys. And he played for 6 minutes, and it was one of the most eventful 6 minutes I've ever seen in rugby. And he just went off. He, you know, he's 38 and he looked like he was 21 again, and the boys loved it. Like, a lot of the boys that haven't played with him, like, he's played here the last couple of years, but a lot of boys that are new and didn't even realize that he was still playing, and they're watching him getting taped up and stuff, and they were shaking their heads going, what is going on? And then he went on the field and just started bashing people. And I think he had like 6 minutes, six tackles, six penalties, and a turnover. He was on fire. It was great.
Six tackles, six penalties. Coach, along the lines, I mean, right here in front of me.
Could I have done that?
Yeah, I mean, all I'm saying is this. Jordan's free from here on out every weekend until school starts in August.
Sign me to a contract, Coach, and I'll be a part of the goal.
Well, he'll do it for the gear. You know, and my point is, I mean, I'm willing to just you know, fly him up. And at the very least, I've always said this, whether it's basketball, whatever, I'm good for fouls. I get six fouls in the NBA. I mean, I'll foul you, you know.
I'll be the dirtiest player.
Exactly. Just, he could be the, you know, like the, in hockey, you got what, the goon. Right, exactly. Yeah. In rugby, do you have an enforcer, have a player to
rough up?
Yeah, you know, deliver punishment there, Coach.
We don't. It's everyone's job to do it. But there was a time in the warm up when Juan Capilero went down with a quad strain, and I started stretching because I was like, it's me next. And I said to the boys, if I have to go on this field, I promise you now that I am going to knock one of them out and just get suspended for the rest of my life, where they say I can't play. So you're going to have to just play with 14.
Okay,
I promise. I promise, because if I swing a punch and it misses and I have to play, we're in trouble.
Can a coach really play? Could you really play?
Yeah. Yeah.
What a great
sport. Wait, this is a great
sport.
I'm learning more and more.
I love
time.
This. Could you imagine Sean Payton just, I've seen enough. Here, give me some pads.
It's probably a little different. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, NFL, they don't really have, is it really ex-players that are coaches, or is it like?
Yeah, so you have a good amount, but yeah. Here's the thing, though. For the most part, though, coach, and I've seen you, and I think you could absolutely look like you could play. Most NFL head coaches, other than, you know, Pretty Boy Sean over there in L.A., they tend to have, how would you say, a few pounds put on them, you know, by the time they're coaches because they live in the facility and all that. Okay, so that's fun. So, look, I guess what you're saying is this is absolutely a team effort from here on out. So tell us a little about Toronto. A very familiar team. They came down here, right, and played a game against somebody else. I want to say L.A. or something, and then you played them as well.
Yeah, and they were a team, they were leading like 14-0 until the 60th minute, and then we put it together. We were playing at pretty average, actually, and we sort of turned it on and ended up winning 22-14. They're a good team. I mean, they've got a lot of they're a Canadian team, obviously. They've got a lot of Canadians and a lot of Argentinians, and we have some Canadians and Argentinians as well. So they're kind of close to a rival for us, but I always say you can't be a rival if you either haven't won or they haven't won, and they've never beaten us. So I don't really consider them a rival until they aim up and try and beat us. But we do make a lot of Canadian jokes all week to the Canadians, and I've started with some Argentinian ones now, which has been great. So the players don't find them as funny as I do, but it doesn't matter.
All right, coach. Are we getting another win here in a row or what?
I think, mate, I don't think so. I know. So, yeah, we're going to go on a run here.
He knows.
I think this is a time when, like I said, all these injuries and things that are happening, and we're very much a next man up team, and we prepare as next man up. So all the players that are, you know, that haven't had an opportunity yet to play, or if they've played some and aren't playing recently, they know they can step in, and we know they can do a job straight away. So there was never like, everyone was like around the league were panicked, and people are calling me going like, oh, what are you going to do? And I'm like, we're just going to play. Like, we're good. So we enjoy that. I mean, I think we don't like being the favorites. We like being the underdogs. We like being written off. And I think that the guys really enjoy opportunities. And when you give them opportunities, they usually step up. And so I think this week's going to be no different. We understand that we're in a dogfight for playoffs. We also understand that Toronto's never beaten us. And we also understand what it means for the new guys that are getting their opportunity to make sure it's a special day for them.
Hey, Coach Nate Osborne of the NOLA Gold. As always, you can go check them out online, NOLAGoldRugby.com. I know you're out of town a lot here, but we got to catch up again soon, man.
We do, mate. Yeah. We usually leave Fridays. Like, Thursdays is good, mate. Come over.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'm just laying on my couch right now watching game film.
I like that. We can see how fast Jordan can run as well, too. Maybe we'll bring Jordan over there.
Yeah, bring him over, mate.
Yeah.
I guess I could do a little training session.
Well, look, here's the thing, Jordan. You're doing it for the betterment of the city's rugby team. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to get them Absolutely. Better. Exactly.
Yeah, we need cannon fodder. So get over here, mate.
I love it. Good luck, sir, as you go over and take on Toronto 3:30 Central Time for that game if you want to go check that out. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I'll see you next week.
Yeah, for sure. Head coach Nate Osborne, we come back, Jordan. We'll go out to the West Coast. Big game eventually coming up for the Phoenix Suns. We'll touch on, obviously, the rest of the West here as well as Jovan Buha. Did I say that right?
That's how I would say it.
Okay, Jovan Buha. He writes for The Athletic. We'll talk with him next on ESPN New Orleans. It's my life, baby, but
I don't care if that tough enough. It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning kind of good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract. All on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Get ready, Greater New Orleans area. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show, is coming for 2 big days only this weekend at the Pontchartrain Center on Williams Boulevard. Show hours are Saturday 9 until 5, Sunday 10 till 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available, full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun, books, camouflage, jewelry and related items. Hunters and collectors, this big show's for you. Buy, sell, trade, or just spend the day browsing. Ladies are especially welcome. Admission is just $10 for adults and $2 for children ages 6 to 11. Sorry, no one under the age of 18 admitted without a parent. Got any guns to sell? Be sure they're unloaded and bring them to the show. Thousands of buyers will be there. Instant background checks available for gun purchases. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show. Show hours 9 to 5 Saturday, 10 till 5 on Sunday. Come to the Pontchartrain Center on Williams Boulevard to exercise your right to keep and bear arms. While you're there, be sure to register for the $50 restaurant gift card. See you there at the big one. Sure as shooting, don't miss it.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone!
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengap.
ESPN's Brian Windhorst had this to say earlier this morning about Chris Paul.
During the season, Bob, almost every player who tested positive for COVID had to go 10 days past symptoms. And some of them, it took 2 weeks. Some of them, it took a month. But that was before the vaccine. We don't really know how to, you know, we only have a couple of examples of players with the vaccine. And you know, there are examples of players who had the vaccine, had a breakthrough infection, and then were still down for weeks because they were sick and they didn't get over it. So that's a long way of saying we don't know. But I will say this, if you're the Suns, you have to prepare for the reality that Chris Paul is probably going to miss a game or two.
Jovan Buha covers the Lakers for The Athletic, covering the Suns and rest of the Western Conference playoffs here during the time. Sir, first off, good afternoon, and how badly did I butcher your name?
You're close. It's Jovan.
Jovan. Okay, that's right. That's what Jordan said. Okay, Jovan Buha. Awesome. Sir, look, I look at this series, too, and it's crazy because I understand here in New Orleans, Chris Paul left and all that stuff and happened, but and Monty Williams was, there's a lot of New Orleans ties. But seeing that embrace at the end of this last series, seeing what they've done in the playoffs and what Chris has done for Phoenix, man, I unabashedly am Team Suns right now in the postseason.
Yeah, it's hard not to root for this team, given, as you said, I think Chris Paul and his postseason history and him really being, I think, on paper, one of the all-time great players to have never made a finals and have never won a championship. And then you look at Monty Williams and what he's been through on a personal level but you know what he's done in the NBA as well. And I think also Suns fans and this being, you know, one of the longest droughts of making the playoffs. You know, it had been the second longest drought, you know, aside from the Kings, before this playoff run. Like, it's hard not to root for the Suns. You know, I think if we're looking at the remaining teams in the playoffs, right, they're arguably the most likable and the most, you know, rootable for. And I guess maybe Atlanta with what they're doing. But, I think, you know, this is certainly a legacy altering opportunity for Chris Paul. And it's unfortunate that it seems like there's another blunder, you know, another obstacle in his way potentially. But that's just kind of been the story of his career so far.
Going into that series against Denver, I remember Charles Barkley asking Chris Paul about the upcoming second round, if he had a preference of who he wanted to play. He's like, it's the Western Conference. It's going to be tough no matter what. Obviously, you cover the Lakers and see the West as well. Have you been surprised by how competitive the Western Conference, you know, playoffs have been despite that sweep against Denver by the Suns?
Yeah, I mean the West is loaded, and that's where you know, to me, I think the East has closed the gap, and you could, you know, maybe make the case that the top of the East is deeper or better than the top of the West, but the depth of the West, you know, this has just been something we've been seeing for 20 plus years at this point. We really, since the turn of the millennium, you know, the West has consistently been better 1 through 8, 1 through 10, 1 through 12. And it's a gauntlet. You know, it's really tough to make the playoffs. And under, you know, normal circumstances, the normal 82 game season, you got to get 45 plus wins. You got to be approaching 50 wins to make the playoffs. Or in the East, you know, there's several seasons, teams under 500 are making the playoffs in a 7 or 8 seed. So, the West continues to just be brutal. I mean, I think a team like New Orleans, had they been in the East, they probably, you know, make the playoffs. And, it's just kind of the tough reality. And, I think, you know, I've seen a lot of people talking about Phoenix's path and it being easy because Anthony Davis got injured and then Jamal Murray was out. And, you know, certainly it wasn't the most difficult path, but they've also won 7 games in a row. I mean, you can only play the teams ahead of you. And I think a lot of teams in that Denver series would have just dropped the game out of not being focused and kind of being like, oh, we're up 3-0. Okay, big deal. We lose game 4. Not, you know, they came out and stepped on their neck. You know, they led for all but a minute and a half over the final 3 games of that series. Like, it was
incredible.
They demolished them, you know? So I think Phoenix deserves a lot of credit for their focus, for their effort, and for just going out and dominating. You know, that's all you can do. You can only play the teams ahead of you or in front of you, and they've done that.
Jovan Buha at Jovan Buha over on Twitter covers the Lakers for The Athletic and covering the playoffs here in the Western Conference. I think one of the things that's interesting to me too is it's a bummer because I'm sitting here like, A, I don't want these guys being injured, and you see Donovan Mitchell in game 2 get injured and he just hasn't been the same, and you heard him last night. There's spots, there's things I want to do and I just can't do it. And now you may not have Chris Paul for a game or two, but looking forward at what the Western Conference Finals is going to be, it's nuts how after 2 games, I'm like, the Clips are done, and now they may win this series. And if Chris misses the first 2 games, can the Clippers go on to the finals, you think?
I mean, potentially, I don't want to rule them out after last night, right? But I think if Kawhi is out for the postseason, which it seems like, you know, it hasn't officially been ruled out, but that's what it's seeming like right now. I just don't see, you know, last night was to me kind of that classic, the better team sort of doesn't know how to game plan for the underdog and maybe takes the underdog a little too lightly because, you know, I think the Clippers, of course, deserve credit for the win, but like Utah was up for a lot of that game and Utah was up by double digits. And I think if you look at the way the game played out, like for a large portion of that game, even in the fourth quarter, frankly, until I'd say the last, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, it looked like Utah was going to win. And even when they were down a little bit, you're like, okay, they're about to make a run. They made a couple runs, got it close, then the Clippers responded. So I do think that the Clippers caught them, you know, by surprise a little bit. I mean, you have to give the Clippers credit for their resilience, but I do think looking at the next round, I think this news probably would have cost the Suns the series if Chris does end up missing some time. But with Mike Conley still out, with Donovan Mitchell not 100%, and with Kawhi most likely out for the postseason, I still feel good about Phoenix against either of those teams. And you know, Utah would be tough just because they have home court advantage. So you have to start in Utah, and you know, I guess at best you're looking to maybe split that. Mm-hmm. But you know, the Clippers, like, Suns have home court advantage in that. That would, I think, give them a good opportunity to at least go 1-1 or maybe 2-0 with the way their home crowd has been this postseason. And you got to remember that the Suns are kind of used to this because they basically played against the Lakers without Chris Paul. I mean, he was out there, but he had reduced minutes, could barely dribble and shoot for some of those games, you know, got benched in the fourth quarter a couple times. So it's not like Phoenix isn't used to playing without Chris Paul, and they had him for the entirety of this postseason run. They basically only had him in round 2. Like, that round 1 version of Chris Paul, what was frankly kind of a detrimental player at times. So I think having, you know, campaign being the 30 plus minute a night guy and bringing one of their backups off, like, that's probably more effective than having Chris Paul who couldn't shoot or dribble in that first round series. So I think you know, we saw Phoenix beat a pretty good Laker team, a team that has LeBron James. So I think them going up against the Clippers or Jazz, who will be dealing with their own injuries to stars, like, I think it's kind of an even playing field. So I think I just would say I'd still favor Phoenix, but I wouldn't, at this point, I'm not surprised by anything.
Yeah, I'm with you. And it really stinks that one of the storylines, Jovan, has been injuries, you know, to key players. I know LeBron came out yesterday and kind of said, I told you guys so, that this was going to sort of be the case and stuff. Look, you saw this season, you covered it. Do you think the condensed schedule, the shortened season per se, all that stuff has an impact of what you're seeing right now?
Yes, I do. You know, I think the fact that as this, you know, numbers being referenced, like, we're going to potentially have 9 All-Stars missing time in the playoffs due to injuries or COVID protocols. Like, that's just not, you know, that's not okay if you're the league. And, like, I think on the one hand, you know, this was almost an extension of the bubble in the sense of, you know, this was sort of transitive season that, you know, next season is really the official return to normal. Like, you know, it's going to be the normal schedule. It's going to be 82 games. It's going to be fans 100% back in the building, you know, barring some type of, you know, COVID setback. Mm-hmm. So I think this season was kind of similar to the bubble, like this weird in between thing where, the league was just basically trying to reset, you know, have a season and recoup some of the money they've lost. But, I think with the injuries and stuff, like, I mean, you just look at the 4 teams that made the conference finals, all were decimated this season. I mean, the Lakers, LeBron and AD missed over a combined 60 games. Yeah. The Heat were one of the most injured and COVID-ravaged teams. The Nuggets, obviously, with the Jamal Murray injury. Then the Celtics were a shell of themselves all season. So, like, I mean, you basically, you know, screwed over those 4 teams entering this season. And they all, you know, there's not one exception. I mean, Denver, I guess, kind of at least made the second round, but they were a shell of themselves too. So I just think, you know, and now it's honestly going to happen to these teams now that are making the conference finals, because they're going to have a short, you know, basically 3-month off season for the finals team. So I think, I mean, this is just something that, you know, as all the teams have to deal with and the league has to deal with, but I certainly think it's been a factor. I mean, I've heard coaches say that, you know, Frank Vogel of the Lakers said that, but I've seen opposing coaches comment on that as well. Like, it just was an all around kind of war of attrition this season. And unfortunately, I think there was a lot of attrition and there was a lot of negative impact in terms of injuries. And I don't think, you know, this conference finals necessarily is the best representation of the best talent. I do think the Lakers probably would have been there had they not been injured. I think a healthy Clippers team probably makes it now over Utah, but we don't know. So I think it's a success in that they are going to complete the season, but there's definitely been a lot of, I think, things that have gone wrong.
No doubt. And despite all of that you just said, Jordan just looked at me. I had my hands covering my forehead in my hands, because, Jovan, despite all that, the Pelicans still didn't make the playoffs. it's been a hectic 24 hours or so, Jovan, as I'm sure you know. You know, no coach, yeah. And now Zion's family's unhappy, and, you know, I'll say this as we wrap up with you, man, because we've seen the last several years teams kind of form it. And look, the stories and success, you just spoke a lot about it on the Suns, you know, and you kind of saw what they did in the bubble, but I don't know if a lot of people expected them to be Western Conference Finals participants or Finals participants. You see what the Hawks have sort of done and some of these other teams. I don't know, man, in your experience in covering the league, is it where you have 2-3 years, man, with a good talent, with the kid that has really good talent, or is it can you build? I just don't know right now, because, I mean, it just sort of seems like there is no window anymore. You know, if you draft or get a player that has talent, I mean, the clock is ticking. You used to think you have at least to the second contract, Jovan. Now, are we now approaching the time in the NBA where you better do it in the first rookie contract?
I think that's where we're trending. And you know, Zion and Luka are two interesting,
yeah,
you know, examples in this, because, you know, they're going through a similar situation in Dallas where they just overturned the front office a bit. Luka isn't happy with it. He has that, you know, monster extension that he can sign, that he's, you know, deliberating on. And I think this is just kind of the next step in the player empowerment era. I mean, obviously it started with guys leaving their teams after that second deal and guys forcing trades. And, I know obviously New Orleans is you know, familiar with that. But I think this is kind of the next logical step, which is like, it's going to happen even earlier. It's not going to be, I'm going to wait until my second contract to really start to think about my future. It's, you know, what if Luka or Zion just signs the qualifying offer and decides to become an unrestricted free agent and just fully bet on themselves? Like, we've never seen that happen to players of that caliber, but I feel like it's only a matter of time, you know, sometime within the next few years that some young player decides to do that. You know, I do think, though, I look at a situation like Phoenix, and, you know, I know it's a little bit of a different timeline because Devin Booker's in his sixth season,
right?
But I think that's kind of the blueprint of drafting, you know, they drafted Devin Booker, they drafted DeAndre Ayton, who I think is finally looking like, you know, should have been the first pick, but at least, you know, a potential all-star. Mikal Bridges, like, they put these nice young pieces, and then a few years into the experiment, they go out and pull the trigger on, we're going to add, you know, a top 3-and-D wing in Jay Crowder. We're going to go trade for Chris Paul.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, you're in the conference finals, right? And I think that's kind of, I think the blueprint, the current blueprint for some of these younger teams is like, build for a few years with your young core, and then in that, you know, third, fourth, fifth year, pull the trigger on trying to get a star, you know, trying to get that guy that's going to take you to the next level. And yeah, I think New Orleans is probably approaching that, you know, of, you know, be it this offseason or next offseason, like, they got to kind of pull that move that is going to elevate them, not just a playoff team, but probably to a top-tier playoff team. And I don't know what that move is, and I don't know if they can pull it off, but I think Phoenix is a nice kind of example of, like, you can still build through the draft, you know, execute a move kind of later on and build something sort of quickly, because, you know, they didn't make the playoffs last year, and all of a sudden they're in the Western Conference Finals. So this is probably the best-case scenario.
Excellent insight, man. Appreciate your time this afternoon, sir.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, for sure. Jovan Buha, go check him out. He also co-hosts the Form Club podcast, covers the Lakers for The Athletic. Easy follow on Twitter, Jovanbuha. Jovan Buha. Thank you, sir. Jordan, when we come back, the hits keep coming on social media. The Athletic NBA just tweeted something that...
gut punches.
Yeah, you know.
You may want to hit the Pelicans down. Hit them while they're down, guys.
I told you this was happening, though, when you made the move yesterday, right? Did I not tell you this? I'll explain when I come back. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. Oh, watch out for that family storm. It don't give no warning sign. Clay Young here with John Conroy, the founder and owner of PestOp, your do-it-yourself pest control solution. Got a question for you, John.
Mm-hmm.
How do you control fleas?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to give you a secret.
Okay.
If I gave you something to treat the inside that killed the adults, the pre-adult stage, in 24 hours you'd think I was a hero.
That's right.
And in 5 to 7 days you'd think I was a goat.
Okay.
Because you got to retreat. People forget about the pupa stage. They are protected in that stage. They'll survive a nuclear holocaust.
Wow.
So I'm just telling you, it's going to take several treatments to get rid of them, whether you're treating the inside or outside.
I have watched you educate so many people on using your product. Tell us now where we can get it.
In Metairie, we're located at 3512 Severn Avenue next to the Pepper Mill. On the North Shore, we're at 1417 North Highway 190. That's in the same shopping center as Sherwin-Williams and Villery Florist. And on the West Bank, we're on the Palco just past the Harvey Bridge.
Because at Pest Stop,
we can help you with that.
Join us for our Memorial Day sales event going on now until June 1st at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Get a great deal on a Ram truck today. See all their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
A new name, a new era. TGMC is now Terrebonne General Health System. This change reflects our transition to more of an all-around healthcare partner rather than just a healthcare provider. With new facilities, new innovations, and new ways to help you, we've done more than change our name. We've changed our future. To see what's new at Terrebonne General Health System, visit tghealthsystem.com.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
You know, I said at the beginning of the show, Jordan, normally on Thursday, you're on the second half day, right? Third quarter of your work week, the weekend right around the corner, and then you just, this is what I feel like right now. I've got to cut the grass at the end of the show. And at 2 o'clock, this is what I feel like right now. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer is what I feel like at 1:51 when you pull up this nonsense on a computer. What is the nonsense I'm referring to?
The Athletic NBA over on Twitter 16 minutes ago. Sources consistently mention the Pelicans as the most likely franchise to seek relocation in the coming decade. John Hollinger writes.
I'm drowning you out.
It continues.
So no, I don't need a contender.
The team is only committed to its lease in New Orleans through 2024.
Just because they haven't signed a new one yet. They got 2 more years to a new lease.
He asked the question, how could this impact its offseason?
It doesn't impact anything. What are you talking about, man? I mean, what is this? What is this? See?
It's the media.
You still don't think that David Griffin needs a 30A day? This is why. You need to go sit down with yourself and figure out what is going on. Because now all of a sudden everyone's thinking, you're relocating. What are you relocating? I'm going to need more than one.
We're already doing Shot of the Day.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I ain't seen my baby since.
Now we got you singing.
I need something. I need something to feel about. I mean, this is absurd. Need a new coach. Oh, great.
Well, like Schmidt to us.
Zion's unhappy. That's even better. They're relocating. Fantastic. Pull one up. I mean, seriously, really? How does this happen in 24 hours?
Like Schmidt Dua said, it's just all about the clicks. Now that they're newsworthy, they're going to post a story to get as many clicks as you can.
I told you this yesterday, this was going to happen. I actually warned you this before, the night before. I said, be ready and get ready. What is this? Now, who is that tweeting? What is this? It's a picture of Zion flexing.
Oh, just NBA Central. The New Orleans Pelicans have been unable to put together the right elements to make Zion Williamson and his family happy.
Right, what?
It's just the same thing.
Fantastic. Everyone's unhappy. Now I'm unhappy, Jordan. Now I'm unhappy. I'm just going to say, I'm probably giving that more time than it needs to, but I'm going to give it 15 seconds. I don't know Mrs. Benson, but if I'm a billionaire, okay, I got money. Well,
great observation.
To relocate, I guess, would mean I'm selling the franchise. So you're going to cut me a check for a bill and a half or whatever. Fantastic. So now I'm one of several people that are billionaires. It's not as special as it used to be. Okay? Like, you're not Jeff Bezos. I mean, it's so fantastic. Got a couple extra money.
Bezos.
You know what is special? Being one of 30. You know what is even more special? Being the only female that I can think of right now that owns two franchises. An NFL and an NBA woman.
Yeah.
Right.
Correct.
That's pretty powerful, isn't it? That's a pretty good status. That's special. That's unique.
We could just put it this,
right. You got a table. You got a seat at an NFL table. You got a seat at an NBA table. Aside from the fact that she was the one that pushed Mr. Tom to get this friend because she likes it, wants to be a part of it. And I don't know about you, but my understanding, these aren't people that like to fail. Figure it out. Right?
I don't even think you have to go. It's this simple. It ain't happening. Move on.
But again, it's just, I don't understand that. You know, because I get it. I saw it on comments and everything yesterday. You just move the franchise. Why? Just fire who's not doing their job and find somebody that does. I don't understand this concept of, well, if they don't win, you know, get rid of it. Did you think like that when the Saints stunk? For 40 plus, don't even look at me like that. People showed up with bags on their heads.
There was a time.
No one was sitting. No, Antonio. Stop it. Well, that wasn't the fans. What I'm saying is not the fans. Fans didn't sit there and say, just move the franchise.
Imagine if we didn't have a football team.
But you understand what I'm getting at, though? I don't understand that thinking, that level mentality. I'm the fan. They depend on me. They depend on my ticket. They depend on my dollar, right? Demand. Be better. Demand. I don't understand this. We'll just go away. Why? I want to go to a playoff game and experience an environment like I'm watching on television. I want to see Zion and them have fun. Demand. Find somebody that legitimately can get people to get along. Coach people. Pick a player that can actually make a shot. Demand. You'd do the same thing for the Saints, wouldn't you? I mean, you do, actually.
Make the right decisions.
I mean, my goodness
Keep
gracious.
George Hill instead
one
of Eric
man
Bledsoe.
That's brought you a Super Bowl gets questioned on why he's playing Taysom Hill. The one team that brought you a championship, you don't trust. Well, Drew Brees. The one guy that brought you that, all of a sudden you couldn't stand. But no one's saying get rid of the franchise. It's an unreal feeling sometimes. I get just bent out of shape with that. I really honestly do. What now? Why is Bledsoe on your screen?
Sam Amico? Is that how you say it? Amico?
I don't care. What is it?
Pelicans looking to trade Eric Bledsoe, Steven Adams.
Well, you know what? That's the best news I've heard. Well,
guess what? Then what did you get for Drew Holiday? And what is their trade value right now?
You blew it. All right?
I'll tell you what the trade value is.
Finally, a tweet worth being happy about.
No, it's not.
No, it is.
Because you know why?
You messed up. Move on.
The best value is a bag of dog doo-doo.
It didn't work.
Here you go.
Yep.
We'll give you Steven Adams and Eric Bledsoe.
Hey. Dun, dun, dun. Finally, I feel like it's Thursday. Right around the corner, Friday, only one more hour before I go die to cut the grass. But if I make it back, I promise tomorrow's show will be fun.
Pelicans getting rid of that baggage.
That's right. Hey, we're worried about the happiness in a little bit. It can't go anywhere. Zion's tied to us for two more years. We'll make it better.
We got him.
Stop it. Don't say it like that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him. Contracts
are contracts. I mean, you know. It'll be fine. No, it's not changing.
Guess what? Just enjoy the next 2 years.
That's right, baby. Woo! We can make it some moves. See, this is how you have to look at it. You know what? Let's hear what he actually had to say when we come back. David Griffin, his comments and thoughts. Top of the. I needed that. Thank you, Sam, Amico, or Migo, and Amico Hoops. It's the way to. Thank you. Finally, I needed something to make my Thursday.
What are we going to get for Eric Bledsoe?
I don't care. It doesn't matter. Now, again.
A Klondike bar?
Stop it. As a wise man once told us, somebody that we know in common that will remain nameless. You can want to trade whoever you want. Somebody's got to want them. So, before we get too excited, somebody has got to actually accept that trade offer. So,
jeez, that's a scary thought.
But at least we're looking. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Get Dad the perfect gift now at Macy's Father's Day Sale. With an extra 25% off his favorite designers with your coupon or Macy's card. That's on top of already great deals for him, like swim from Club Room starting at $9.99 and his new favorite jeans just $19.99. Or shop specials.